Here I am inside Kew Palace, where King George III lived for a while. There's his tutor, John Stuart, the Earl of Bute. He was born 1713, died in 1792. Was also a Tory Prime Minister. He's the only British Prime Minister to study at a foreign university, the University of Leiden, having been to Eton, of course. George be king, be a Tory king. That's what he'd say as he tucked his young people into bed. He was raised to be a Knight of the Garter. He had a house nearby at Kew. Okay, so that's Frederick, Prince of Wales, King George III's father. Frederick, Prince of Wales, never became king himself because he predeceased his own father, who was George II. You can see this Kew house in the background. Dates to 1631. It looks a bit of an older style. The royal family lived here quite a lot. George III spent a lot of his childhood here with his younger brother, later became Duke of York. So here's George III is getting married to his good wife, Queen Charlotte. She's from Mecklenburg-Strelitz in northeast Germany. So he got married on the 8th of September 1761 in St. James's Palace. They met for the very first time only hours before they married. And they had a very happy marriage, so happy, in fact, they were blessed with 17 children. And uniquely, he was completely faithful and uxorious. And there is his good wife here. So she is about 17 in this, and looking most radiant, rather serious-minded, thought to be a bit short of the grey matter, which is ideal for a queen consort. Who the black man is in the bottom left-hand corner, we don't know, but it signifies yet against the presence of black people in the United Kingdom, or indeed in the continent, in the 18th century. So look at this little drawing room here on the ground floor. What else more would you might want to know? It says no additional charge. You can see the clothes they had. They didn't wear anything. There's a garden, there's a kitchen garden, there's a nosegay garden. And this parterre is just for socialising, just for fun. Look at the busts there. The River Thames is beyond. Those tower blocks in Ealing. But over this way, where you can't really make it out from here, is the kitchen garden where they had parsley and various things you could eat. Servant stairs, hats for you to try on. So it's a four-storey house. They didn't build houses too tall because, of course, there was no lift. Didn't want to go too high up. Frederick, Prince of Wales again, George III's father. He had a house at, the one near Cookham, near Maidenhead. Oh my God, the name escapes me. Famous for Nancy Astor owned it. Clifton, on the bluffs overlooking the River Thames, not too far from Windsor. Okay, there we go. And people in 18th century dress greeting you. Shining women, actually. And that is George III, grandfather of King George II. So he was born in Hanover, came over here as a child, spoke fluent English, unlike his father. George III, he never mastered the English language. A look at the king's dining room, and it's ill-lit, as it would have been in the 18th century. Suppose they could have opened the blinds a bit more, but don't want to blind us with the blazing sunshine. So George III was a man of attainments of many parts, curious about botany, about the natural world, but rather artistically unsophisticated. Look at Van Dyck there. Ooh, and a fabulous musical instrument where they could be entertained with a few fine airs of an evening, and the winged cherub surmounting it all. And who's this wearing his Order of the Garter star? Doesn't actually tell us who it is. Could be George III. Remember, they always used to wear wigs in those days. Any formal occasion, as barristers do to this day. So look how the table is well laid. Dr. Francis Willis, his medical doctor, is quoted there. Who was a clergyman as well. He'd been to Oxford University. So there was no psychiatrist as such. Just some doctors would specialise in that. So it was porphyria is probably what afflicted King George III. It's a hereditary illness. It was only in 1788 he was first diagnosed with it. It didn't cause the American Revolution's mental illness. His mental illness only struck him afterwards. And then he alternated between periods of lucidity and periods of mania. So that was his derangement of mind, various members of his family. But some of his children predeceased him, like little Octavius. Look at this giant doll's house. A bit of a jigsaw. So toys such as they were. The wooden panelled room is very fine. And look how high the ceiling is. The doors are not even that high because people weren't terribly tall. He was a rather tall man himself. And although Huzia's fairly reactionary, one way that film, The Man of 1640, is unfair to him, is suggesting that he just couldn't go get over American independence. So then when it actually happened, he said that he accepted it. The only thing he wants to accept it with good grace and develop cordial relations with the United States. He's directing policy. Hello. But had the king been more of a reformer, maybe the revolution wouldn't have happened. He refused to accept the olive branch petition from the United States. Well, it wasn't officially the United States, from the 13 colonies, the last attempt to really avert large-scale bloodshed before the war broke out. The boudoir, okay. So Queen Charlotte and the princesses, I think King George III's wife and the children came here. Oh, we can't go too close to this. And look at the ceiling, all the artwork in the ceiling. They don't do that. And here's this shepherd playing the lyre in that sylvan scene. Look at the wild deer behind. Those deer are always wild, they can't really be tame. Can they even eat your hand? Look at the amphora filled with flowers. So these classical scenes, is that flora. And they're playing cards there, backgammon and the like. And these screens in front of the fire, women have them near themselves so that makeup doesn't melt the heat of the fire. Not terribly tall. You can hear someone plucking the harpsichord. Well, very finely furnished, I think you'll concur. So very atmospheric. It's not too crowded. So I've been to Kew Gardens several times. I've never, ever been into this house. What a treat. I always thought, I assumed it wasn't open. I thought it cost more because the lights weren't obviously on. And with the blinds shut, maybe they only just opened it quite late. The Queen's drawing room, as in where the ladies would draw after dinner when the men were going to start smoking their pipes. No cigarettes in those days, not till the 1850s were cigarettes invented. And men would have boys talk and the ladies would talk about ladylike things. Okay. And look at all these oil paintings. Don't know who this J.J. Schalk is. I don't think much of this tenebrous scene. Oh, it's J.J. Schlach, The Gardens at Kew, 1759. So King George III, he was completely ravingly insane for the last decade of his life. Blind, he died in 1720. But people have come to feel a bit sorry for him. He's buried under the floor at St. George's Chapel, Windsor. Augusta, that's his mother. Augusta George is named in his honour. Frederick Prince of Wales, who died relatively young. Sir William Chambers, okay. So, anyway, that's enough from the Queen's House at Kew. These tend to be near the Queen's House. It's the smallest royal palace in the United Kingdom. Prime Minister Pitt the Younger became, Charles James Fox, the famous Whig politician, so Pitt the Younger became Prime Minister aged 24, the youngest Prime Minister the UK's ever had. So this mince pie administration, not supposed to last till Christmas, lasted for 18 years. Right, that's enough. So thank you, everybody. Hope you enjoyed your whistle-stop tour of Kew Palace. Goodbye.